and welcome to the Clinical Audit and Improvement Podcast from AMAT, the audit management and tracking tool which is developed in partnership with our users. So my name's Dom Conlon, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about the improving patient care in urgent treatment centres. And with me to discuss the subject are three guests. We've got Vicky Barsby, Cassandra Dye, and Neil Jones, and they're all from Derbyshire Community Health Services. Vicky First is an improvement, innovation and effectiveness facilitator. She started her NHS career as the IT clinical systems training lead and caught the bug for QI and audit when she undertook some service improvement projects. Prior to that, she was a teacher specialising in supporting children with additional needs. And Vicky continues to support staff in her current role so that they can go on supporting patients. And then we have Cassandra. And Cassandra is a data analyst and QSIR practitioner who started in the NHS as an admin apprentice way back in 2010. After an organisational restructure, Cassandra became a quality compliance officer before beginning training for her current role. She's a black belt in Lean Six Sigma and works within the improvement, innovation and effectiveness team. And finally, we've got Neil. Neil's a service lead for the North Urgent Treatment Centres. He's had 27 years experience as a qualified nurse within urgent and emergency care, including out of hours. And he's also a Resuscitation Council Advanced Life Support Provider. So loads of experience, as usual, on the podcast today. And thank you, all of you, for joining me and giving up your time to discuss this. So, Neil, I think we're going to have to go to you first because you kind of you started this whole thing off. You're the service lead for the urgent treatment centres. So could you just give us a kind of picture, an overview of what was going on that led to this improvement in care?
Absolutely. So within our organisation, we have four urgent treatment centres spread across the county. And back in the day, when we were undertaking audits, we had lots and lots of different audits on different bits of paper, different spreadsheets. The NHS was provided in little pockets of primary care trusts. So there were headed paper for one, headed paper for another, and never the twain shall meet. And it was really, really difficult to collate the information we wanted across all four units. And funnily enough, recently, whilst clearing out a filing cabinet, we discovered a whole ream of papers, which were our old-fashioned peer review audits from going on to electronic patient records and electronic systems such as AMAT. So in walked my colleagues from the innovation team with AMAT that was being developed and implemented within our organisation and said, we've got this great tool, you might like to use it. And we went, okay, that sounds really good. We've got lots of papers. We can't amalgamate things very well. We can't see clear themes. It's very, very difficult to pull together what the information that we would like in order to, A, to improve patient care, but B, to showcase what we're doing is right, but equally showcase where we could make improvements. And it was really difficult to pull all that together until everything went onto AMAT, and then that's been revolutionary. And that's where we are now.
So this must have been kind of music to your ears, Vicky and Cassie. Does one of you want to kind of take up the story from there? I mean, what was your response to this?
I was the analyst on the ground at the time, actually, when Neil had come to the team. I'd just gotten back from maternity leave, and it was my first big project was, oh, yeah, so the UTCs have decided they want to put their entire suite of audits on AMAT. Can you sort that out? And we started off, was it the peer review?
It was the peer review audits, the X-ray audits to start with, wasn't it?
Peer review and the X-ray, quite close together. And everything started snowballing. And sort of from my point of view, everyone was excited and they were keen. And it was like, oh, can we make it do this for us? Can we make it do that? And it just snowballed. It was an excellent project to come back to, actually.
But I think it even sort of snowballed to the trust as well, because we've got things like our hand hygiene and all our IP&C audits onto AMAT as well. So it wasn't only service specific ones to the UTCs and Neil's teams, it went sort of trust wide as well. So we use Neil as a shining beacon of how it should be done.
Or a guinea pig, depending on
you.
So, because Derbyshire is quite a spread out kind of trust, isn't it, Derbyshire community, from what I remember discussing with other members of the team. So what kind of challenges were involved in this?
I think probably the first thing was sort of seeing the capabilities of AMAT from our perspective in the clinical service. So we sort of know what we want. We've got all these different audits and lots of bits of paper. We want to be able to look at those details, look at the outcomes of those audits. What outputs can we then take from that? Will this system be able to support us in that? Just a couple of years before AMAT, we'd moved from paper patient records to electronic patient records. So that was a big hike for our service and lots of other services in the organisation. So initially, there was also some trepidation in terms of, oh, it's another electronic system. Will this work for our service or not? So a lot of our stalwart staff, shall we say, were, arms crossed. We like our pen and paper. We can physically see it. That's great for that part of the service, whereas the rest of the service who might learn something from that bit of paper that person is holding on to wasn't there. So I think probably for us on the clinical side, it was, will this work? How will this help us improve what we're delivering to patients?
I think as well, it's also logistic challenges as well, because as a community trust, we are spread out across a massive patch, if you like. So it's not as easy as just sort of popping down the corridor to Neil and saying, what do you think about this? It was a lot more about deliberate communications and trying to get together at the time it was sort of in COVID as well. So you've also got that challenge on top of it as well. So it did make it difficult, but it's not something that it's not new to our trust. We know the challenges of trying to meet up and communicate different things across a wide community patch.
So that must be, so we've had this kind of touched upon in previous episodes about the impact of COVID and how, as difficult as that time was, it also enabled new technologies like Teams to come in. And so, like you're saying, you can't pop down the corridor, but so that must have, did it help at all? Having Teams suddenly being accessible to everybody across the whole trust and things like that?
Certainly from our perspective, yes, because we were able to then link our four units together with one system to be able to go, okay, so our hand hygiene audit, for example, overall is this. Oh, and then we can break it down into individual units as well. Can we see themes and trends? And with the peer review, so in the north of the county, that has a completely different population to the south of the county. Were there similarities? Were there completely differences in the results? But equally, are the staff interpreting the audits that they're undertaking same or different?
Oh, that was that. You've just sparked something there, Neil. That interpreting audit questions in the same way. There was a real challenge made easier by the likes of MS Teams coming in, that we could get people from all four UTCs and go through all the audit questions to make sure that everyone was understanding it and reading it in the same way. Mm-hmm. So one of the parts in my role as an analyst is the question you're asking. Will you get the answers you anticipate? Are you asking the right question for what you're expecting out of it? And it was certainly very interesting to have all four UTCs come together and be like, well, this is what we think this means, and then try and rephrase the questions to work correctly for what the actual ask was. A bit of a
No, that's good. That's the stuff. So what kind of audits were being redesigned? What were you? Did you start off with just one, Or did you kind of go, we'll do everything all at once?
We started with one, then sort of two quite quickly together. So we started off with a peer review audit. Then we moved on to the X-ray audit, which was completely not a game changer. It was brilliant, still is. And then once we, I think once the clinical side realised the capabilities of having everything in one suite, that's when we said to the guys, please, could we look at equally what Cassie and Vicky were able to do is say, as Vicky's already mentioned, if there's a trust audit that we're part of, might already be on AMAT, let's look at those as well. So we had the service specific and we had the trust specific ones as well that we could then bring together in one place. Mm-hmm. So it evolved over a period of time. But I think because we learned lessons quite quickly, as in, oh, this is good, there's lots of capabilities here, it was then easier to onboard all the other audits. It felt more comfortable doing it that way. And if we learned something from one audit, we could then implement it on another one potentially in terms of how it was displayed. As Cassie said, the results that we potentially were expecting, how questions were asked, that sort of thing.
I think it's that visibility as well, it increased because everyone could come to AMAT to see what else was happening around the trust, yeah, instead of having to share those bits of paper that Neil mentioned before.
You mentioned the X-ray, and Neil, your eyes lit up at the X-ray, mention of the X-ray. Tell me something about that then. That sounds like an interesting area to explore. Because it sounds really positive that you learned things from it and developed it.
So one of our key governance loops that we like to close is when a patient has attended and has a clinical assessment, a part of that clinical assessment is deemed an X-ray is required. The patient will go for an X-ray. That will be interpreted by the radiographer very briefly to decide if there's something that they can physically see immediately to then alert the clinician in the UTC. The UTC clinician will do exactly the same. They'll look at that X-ray, they'll interpret it based on their clinical findings from the patient with the X-ray to support to come to a diagnosis. And then to close that loop, the X-rays are then reported on either by a consultant orthopaedic surgeon or a reporting radiographer. As part of that governance process and closing the loop, we then audit the number of X-rays that have been carried out, the number of X-rays that we anticipated would be positive, so that there's something on there, potentially a fracture or a foreign body, for example, and those that potentially were negative. And again, back down to paper, we had different units doing different things. So some people were doing it on the computer on an Excel spreadsheet. Some people were writing it down on a bit of paper in a folder that was collecting dust on a shelf that came out once a week for somebody to do the X-ray audit. And it was very difficult to collate everything. In terms of the X-ray audit, going straight onto AMAT, it answered the questions that we wanted answering. It pulled all four units together. We can see themes and trends. So nationally, the Royal Colleges expect across the NHS in the UK that any services that are undertaking X-rays for undifferentiated diagnosis, so anybody who walks in with an injury, for example, roughly you should see 50-50. So 50% positive, 50% negative, because we're hoping to rule in the 50% positive. And that's something that we couldn't readily share outside our organisation because everything was on paper on different bits of spreadsheets and never the twain shall meet. Bringing that into AMAT, we're now able to just click onto AMAT, look at our X-ray audit, look at exactly where we are in terms of 50% higher or lower. We can break it down to individual clinicians. We can break it down by unit. That data is then supplied nationally if and when it's required, and it's also supplied internally as part of our Quality Always process. So for me and a lot of my colleagues, the X-ray audit was the game changer that sort of opened our eyes. We saw the wood for the trees at that moment, you know, that light bulb moment where everybody goes, ah, this is going to be really good for other audits, isn't it? If we can get this level of information quickly, centrally, it's a game changer.
An x-ray for the x-ray. Excellent. I like it.
That's right.
So Cassie and Vicky, so the data coming in, this must have been, again, music to your ears. So what support did you give to Neil and to the rest of the team?
And still do.
And still do, yes, of course. Sorry.
Neil's got me on speed dial. To be fair, it started off as quite hand-holding. It was going through the questions. It was, are you asking the right questions that's going to give you the right information falling out? It was being able to split things out so that we can do the UTCs as a whole or do each of the individual UTCs so everyone can see their piece of the puzzle. I've done some support with how to pull the data off and put it into an Excel dashboard that I've created to give them that real fine look into what is being said. And then created an instruction document and handed it over. And they haven't broken it yet.
Not yet.
The challenge has just been extended, I fear. What about training? Was any training necessary for everybody else, for people using it? Or did you just kind of all just take to it?
Offered some training, certainly, at the start. I think you've done a lot of cascading down yourself with the team, haven't you, Neil?
That's and then right.
I think we sort of stick our hat in once a year, like the UTC away days, and support with the wider team.
Or when I've got you on speed dial.
So Cassie and I and another one of our team members, we recently went to the UTC away days. Neil invited us along to go and have a bit of a section about audits, which isn't as exciting as it sounds.
It's proper section.
We do make audit sexy, but it was actually a really nice opportunity to speak to staff. So obviously we mainly liaise with Neil and the other UTC managers, but actually getting to talk to staff about the impacts of the audits was really exciting. And it did go to at one point a slightly uncomfortable conversation, because I sort of said, I went off script and I said, what do you actually think about audits? Do you see the point of them? And they were very honest, very polite and honest. But they sort of said, like, sometimes we don't. We see it as a tick box exercise, which I think is typically what audit feels like sometimes. But that was sort of our flash then of actually, are we sharing the results of the audits well enough? Like, I think sort of Neil and the guys, they share them with the staff in possibly hidden ways. So we sort of came up with ideas that they could be shared in more obvious ways and more ways that would have an impact on what staff do day to day as well. So, and that was a real nice turning point. It wasn't necessarily training, but it was that engagement side of things that really opened it up to everyone even further.
Argumentatively, the hardest part is the engagement bit.
Yes, definitely trying to get people. I think all the staff at the UTCs were on board. They did the audits. They were happy with doing the audits. It's just getting to see that impact and the reason why we're doing the audits and get them really, really engaged, which I think, yeah, we're there now.
That's excellent. I mean, the transparency and visibility of these things, you do want to know what's the point of it, the so what of it all. And if you can't see that, then you it's hard to engage fully. And you mentioned that resistance right at the beginning. You know, we've always done this on paper. This is the way it's worked, and it's worked so far, which is true, which is great. So what was then, looking back, the response? Presumably that resistance melted away. And can people now see the benefits of doing it this way?
Certainly, I think that resistance began to melt. Probably took a while for some people.
Yeah.
Definitely. We have a lot of staff now doing advanced clinical courses at university. And what we've found is when they're undertaking their studies at university level, they're looking for information support writing assignments and things, and they know that they can go to AMAT if there's a subject that they're writing about that we deal with on AMAT. They can go to that and get the information that they need to support their academic writing as well. So there's certainly a cohort of engaged staff already that absolutely love it. And I think that, as Vicky said, the barriers with the others have broken down, particularly those who are actively engaged in undertaking the audits, because they go to AMAT, they can see it. And one of the things that we've learned from the away days last year, in terms of sharing the results completely out there in the teams, is by putting results of certain audits in our bi-monthly newsletter, which goes by email to every single member of staff. So that was an action that we took from inviting the guys to come to the away days. So that was absolutely brilliant.
That sounds fantastic. Lessons. We've got to have learned some lessons from all this. It sounds a really kind of involved process and full of challenges. So what kind of lessons have been learned from both from you and from Neil and from you, Cassie and Vicky?
Don't do it. It's a lot of work.
And thank you for joining us.
I think when we had a bit of a conversation about this, it was sort of with hindsight, were we sometimes too concerned with the testing and too wary to sort of take that final step and let's just launch it and let's go? So I think
we were really nervous because it was quite early in us using AMAT as well.
Yeah,
and we were really nervous about using Warden Area at the time. Some of it being because once it was launched, it felt like you couldn't make changes until the next audit cycle. And that was quite daunting from an us point of view in our team. Mm. It felt like we had to get it right first time when maybe we didn't.
No, we've definitely learned from that now, and sometimes we leap before we should leap, sort of thing. So yeah, it's definitely changed now.
I think as Cassie was sort of mentioning earlier, we've learned about the language of questions as the audits have gone along. So the one of the latest audits to be uploaded onto AMAT is the Effective Documentation Review audit, and we spent quite a proportion of our time thinking about the questions in this one. So we knew what we wanted to ask. We knew how we can launch it. As Vicky said, we weren't as scared or as worried about launching it, but there was a lot of looking at the ingredients. How can we get these ingredients right so that when it's baked, everybody understands how it's been baked? That was the easiest sort of way of, we were really, really engaged in that. And I think there was probably the lesson there was not to focus on it too much either, because we could have gone round in circles 20 times to say what we wanted to say. Mm-hmm. But it was about that, okay, so we've thought about this two or three times now. We need to make this as clear as possible. This is what we think it is. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
I think there's also, with your baking or cooking analogy there, too many cooks spoil the broth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Having too many people in the room made us very unproductive, but getting the right people in the room does absolute wonders.
So would you do anything, would you look back and do anything differently? I mean, are you doing this kind of process for other areas of the trust as well? You are, yeah.
Yeah. Again, with Neil's team being the guinea pig, we definitely use the lessons that we've learned from introducing the audits into Neil's team and to other teams across the trust, and especially with the Effective Documentation Review. The UTCs were early in the game to sort of get on board with that. So, yes, they were definitely the ones that we learned from as a team, and the example that we show to other teams as well. We always say the UTCs have done this, and because of that, they've done this. They're our poster child of the audit on AMAT.
Speaking of posters, I think that's one of the things that we did from lessons learned from previous ones. When EDR was launched, to try and get it out there to all the staff, we had some brilliant posters made up, and me being me, I was putting them in the staff toilets and things so that people could not get away from seeing what was coming.
Captive audience.
Absolutely. Well, they stood there washing their hands. You know, that's what they're looking at.
Oh, that's fantastic. So anything else you'd like to kind of like cover or sort of brag about and celebrate? Because it sounds like an amazing project. It really does. I mean, I was saying before we started this to Neil about the poster that led to me asking you to do this episode. It was just fascinating that the processes that you underwent.
And it's only when I think we have the opportunity to do things like the posters for the clinical audit conference last year that we actually stop and look back and reflect on what we've done and the journey that we've come from, and sort of going from, like Neil says, paper-based in a filing cabinet collecting dust to actually one system that everyone can access and has that visibility across the trust. It's when you step back and sort of go, wow, we did a lot. It's humbling sometimes, and it definitely worth celebrating, like I say.
It really is. I mean, you mentioned before about telling people this is the result of your audit, this is what the benefit is. You've got to remember to do that for yourselves. This is the benefit of the bigger picture. You know, we've got to do this kind of thing. So that's, it sounds an amazing journey that you've all been on and shared with me today. So I'd just like to thank you very much for coming on. If anybody is wanting to celebrate any part of their job within audit and quality improvement and all that kind of thing, then please get in touch with me, podcast@amat.co.uk, and subscribe and share this episode wherever you can, and keep doing amazing work. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.